see it.
Welcome to the Uncle Hack Podcast, where dudes pretty much just talk dude shit.
And we are back. It's been a long time away from the studio, but we are back off the road. Lots of dates coming up. For those wondering, Thunder Bay has been moved to August 17th. That would be the show that would be taking place this weekend. But there is plumbing issues with the club. So we're moving said show to August 17th. The following weekend, May 11th in Lloydminster, Alberta. May 12th, Edmonton, Alberta. May 23rd in Camrose, Alberta. The following day. You know what? We're going straight to the website. I see we're trying to up the production around here. Tickets. The following day, May 24th, we are in Rocky Mountain House. After that, May 25th, Westlock, Alberta. May 26th, Las Vegas, Nevada. May 30th, Comox, British Columbia. May 31st, Nanaimo, British Columbia. June 1st, Victoria, BC. July 24th, San Jose, California. July 26th, Los Angeles, California. Whoa, look at these guys. Oxnard, California. July 28th. July 20th, just added Grand Prairie, Alberta. October 19th, we are in Fort St. John, British Columbia, and then added on the Cali Run is Brea, California, July 25th. Wow. Who are these guys and why are they touring everywhere? Why are they so popular? Fresh off a Texas trip, we'll get into that. First weekend out there, you know, I finally went to Los Angeles, and what a particular place. I only got to spend 24 hours there, so it's tough to make a judgment on a place that you didn't really get to experience that much. But for the short time that I was there, most of the city that I experienced while there was on the transit system of Los Angeles, and wow, that makes Edmonton's transit system look like Disneyland. I felt like, you know, I was on a haunted house ride this whole time, but then you come back here, you take the transit system and you're like, oh, what do you mean? Everybody's not smoking crack on here. What do you mean? I'm not ignoring a murder in the corner, you know? Not saying that that doesn't take place on Canadian transit systems. I'm not saying that it doesn't take place on those, but I'm just saying that it just seemed to be a little more accepting. And I think Canada could learn a bit from a place like California, specifically Los Angeles, on when it comes to allowing just crimes to happen. We all have a little bit of an inner Batman to us right now, where we want to have this like vigilante status that we want to run around the city and save every fucking neighborhood. I think we got to put a pin in that. I think we just have to, you know, hang up the old baton and plastic handcuffs that we got from a dollar store, or put the zip ties back in the toolbox. It's over. You know, why? We all want to think that in our heads that we are some form of RoboCop that's ready to take on any crime that happens in front of our eyes. In fact, we're anticipating it most hours of the day. If that motherfucker decides to rob this liquor store, I'm ready to go, son. I'm TTG, trained to go, right? As men, that's something that we like to fantasize in our head. But in the cold, hearted reality, especially in somewhere like Canada, after you see like the guys that did, you know, and I'm sounding like a pussy here, and I get that. I'm starting to become a little more selfish in my old age, as everybody should. I think a little selfishness wouldn't hurt. And I don't mean to like project your thoughts outwards and have everybody follow along under your lead. No. I'm just saying like to revert back to those days where we just shut the hell up. You know, we gossiped. We gossiped at dinner parties and whatnot. We didn't have to go and parade it around in the streets. I feel like that just needs to make a comeback for a little bit. You know, we'll put a pin in the fucking protesting for a while. You know, I'm getting tired of the signs. The signs are annoying me. They're getting under my skin for some reason. I'm seeing the signs. I used to like a little sign. I want to see the artwork behind it. What kind of cool, trendy saying do you have on yours? What hashtag do you got? You know, even the playoff signs. There was a wholesome one where it just said, "Hi, Dad." And I'm reading that. It was a sign behind the Winnipeg Jets bench. And just some lady wrote, "Hi, Dad." And I'm reading it like, oh, God, could you be less creative? You know, and it's a wholesome sign. I don't know what's going on here. I'm tired of the signs. The signs have got, they are living rent-free in my, everywhere you look, there's signs. Free, free Palestine. Zionists are taking over. And then you look over here, it just says, "Hi, Dad." And I'm going, for fuck me. Can we stop with the signs? They're getting a little old to me, you know? And that shouldn't be my attitude. So I'm saying, like, that's where, like, the vigilante status of, like, you know, where you're believing that you do have a bit of Batman inside you. It's sexy to think about. It's fun to think about, you know? And I don't blame folks that do that, that live in the fantasy world, you know? It's kind of like the security officers that we constantly talk about on here. You're not quite a cop. You'll never get to that level. You won't, you know, but you do just get to play pretend. And that's kind of fun. I understand the mentality of a security guard. It's like, well, I not too swift on the books. These guys are shorthanded and they're paying decently. You know, it's like, you got to throw in the fog of war, right? You got to throw the idiots up front when you're storming the beaches. You need a little cannon fodder every now and then. And what better cannon fodder than a security guard with a flashlight? You know, let that guy be hands on deck to tucker out some of these crackheads and fentanyl addicts that are robbing the stores. You know, let them tucker them out. That way, when the law comes in, it's a little less, you know, the tax dollars aren't being as abused as we think that they are. You know, you can feel a little bit better about that. And that's where I got to change my thinking about a lot of stuff. You know, like I noticed one thing down in Texas. Texas is such a peculiar place. There's so many things going on, especially in a town like Austin. You know, we start the trip off by, like I said, flying into Los Angeles and doing Sam Tripoli's podcast. If you haven't heard the interview, Sam really nailed it on there. Talking about, you know, the Picton situation and whatnot. Having a veteran comic like him and great podcast. Letting Sam do his thing, you know, was a treat to sit behind. You know, I'll be honest, they were a little shorthanded on mics, understandably so. I don't think they expected three of us to be in studio that day. So I just sat in the middle very awkwardly, like I was the little brother that they brought along. And I bombed on there, you know. I tried throwing some stuff up and didn't land. I think nerves, you know, when you're, I couldn't imagine. I'd tighten so, people, you got to get on Rogan. I'd tighten up so hard, dude, on that show. Even like the magnitude of Sam Tripoli's, you know, you just kind of like, oh, okay, I'll just shut up. You know, these guys are in. You don't want to interject. You don't want to throw your stupid thoughts around. So it's like, just especially when you don't have a mic, because you got to reach over, you got to grab the mic, you got to get it in front of your face. And by then, like, you can't rapid fire somebody. You got to, like, interrupts the conversation. So it was. And I'm not dogging it by any means. It is what it is. It was good to let Sam loose on Triple E's podcast. And then we had the pleasure of working with him that weekend in Plano. Plano, Texas. This club is attached to the Edmonton club here. Shout out fucking May 11th here in the city if you're around. So it was good to return to that place, you know, rip some sets, work with a headliner that weekend in America. That's really the first weekend I've worked with Triple E or worked like a whole weekend outside of Canada. So that was interesting. You know, you got to soak those like little moments in. And then it was off to Austin, Texas, where the storming of the town. And I'll tell you, in a town where big acts are flying through there, so often, it's a very tough town to sell tickets in. We were able to be in a pretty rad little club, out there, just off 6th Street. And overall, great experience. You know, we worked with Roscoe's Comedy Club while we were out there. I have zero complaints. You know, we went out, we did our gig. I was in a roast battle afterwards, after that show, which was very fun to be in. It should be released on the Roast Battles YouTube channel, whenever that may be. I don't know how quick they upload, but it'll be on there. Your boy talking some jazz down there in America. Trying to come for the Intercontinental Roast Battle Championship. Talking shit to a bunch of fat boys. Man, 10 toes down. Very interesting battle. It's nice to experience the difference between crowds of Canada and what's a good roast down there. It's always good to, you know, further your knowledge. Apart from that, the only thing I will say, Texas, very, very, very blindly devoted to a gas station. And when if you know which one I'm talking about, you're a Texan, true Texan. Even if you're one of those imports from California, there's like, as soon as you touch down in the lands of the Lone Star, there is this blind devotion to Buc-ee's. Why? I don't know. And it's, you know, for a normal person, we would call that a Costco, okay? We would call that place a Costco. To them, they call it's a fucking gas station. There's about 180 pumps at this thing, if not more, and they're all full. Like, climate change is a suggestion in Texas. It's like, you know what I mean? Up here in Canada, it's like a statement. Climate change in Texas is simply nothing more than just a suggestion. You know, there should be a question mark after change when you're down there. 180 pumps full. Okay. 180 pumps. Fucking premium, super premium. They got different flavors of gas, more than ours. You know, up here, we got the three flavors, sometimes two, depending on where you're at. There, I think they had like five different types of diesel. It makes no sense. Okay? And if you think that the confusion stops there, no. I had someone ask me, like, when I went to Buc-ee's, what did you get? What did I get? What did I get? I got a water. And they put the water, and I'm not even exaggerating when I say that this place is the size of a goddamn Costco. It's a Kmart in there. That's a good Canadian reference, okay? Kmart for a convenience store. It makes no sense. You walk in, okay? The lady's like, oh yeah, make sure you get samples of the beef jerky and the fudge. What? They have a fudge station. Okay, they're just making fudge all day long. Making fudge. It's Willy Wonka's goddamn fudge factory. And if you think it ends there, no, no, no. We're just beginning. On the other side of the fudge, they got butchers cutting up brisket, doing pound of brisket sandwiches at the Buc-ee's. Okay? Folks come down here to get dinner. They're going to a convenience store to get dinner. If one of you went to a 7-Eleven to get a pizza for dinner during a weekday, you've hit rock bottom. Okay, the wife has left, everything's gone. This is the first meal that you have outside of the home once your life is falling apart and the wife kicks you out the front door. You know, that's acceptable. Having 7-Eleven for dinner in a circumstance like that. No, these people go to the convenience store to get dinner. All right. Yes, I'm irritated by it. And as should you. There is, and when I say like, oh, is it dinner? Is it, no. I mean, a lot of people close to death, but it is by no means not dead inside the Buc-ee's. And there's fucking 900 of them down the goddamn highway. It doesn't end. And there is people surrounding the fudge and the brisket. It's in the middle of the store. And they just got people handing over sandwiches. It looks like, you know, those scenes in zombie movies where they zoom out of the compound and they see like, holy shit, there's thousands of them surrounding whatever location that they're at. And it's just amplified 1,000 times, right? These pudgy bastards are all pressed up against the glass and it just like they're handing sandwiches out. It looks like they're just like they're stuffing some sort of explosives along the fence line of the zombie apocalypse so they can just like try and knock down the number that's trying to maul them. People just reaching over. Number 78. Getting their pound of brisket to head home. And like I said, somebody asked me, what did you get in there? A water. And where do you think the waters are? Oh, yeah. Why the hell would I want to drink water? First thing you see as soon as you walk in, well, about as many checkouts as a local Safeway. Oh, yeah. Three doors, three entrances to a convenience store. Three entrances. I'm repeating this to a convenience store. And I know some of you may not understand what the hell I'm talking about. And that is perfect. That is good. Pat yourself on the back, will ya? You deserve a handshake for not getting dinner at a Buc-ee's. So I got to walk 18 miles to get a fucking liter of water. God forbid, don't say leader down there. You hear about 18 Glocks. What the hell did you say, commie? Nothing, sir. Jesus. Just wondering where I can get a gallon of water. I have ventured very many miles to get here. For I was once at the fudge in the beginning of this story. The mountains of fudge. I was there, I seen it. But I've traveled, like I said, many miles, hundreds of miles to get here to the fountain of water. And as I can see, good sir, I have arrived. It's going to take me many hours to get back. May I take more than one, please? For I am dehydrated. Insanity. How much shit is in there? And they all say, well, did you check out the bathrooms? They get excited about the most insane things when it surrounds that place. The bathrooms. We're getting excited about people are taking selfies in the Buc-ee's bathroom and posting it on social media as if it, like we're in the, this is the Taj Mahal of Texas. It's a roadside convenience store. And they praise it. I learned the hard way trying to make fun of a Buc-ee's in Texas. Boy, oh boy, what a mistake. Boy, oh boy, I would have had an easier time if I said I wanted to quote unquote, now I'm talking in TikTok terms so I don't violate any services here, but grape and unalive somebody's whole family in a serious tone. I would have got a much better reaction than to say anything negative towards a Buc-ee's. Couldn't believe it. This place I speak of, I tell you, if you haven't been to one, if you got a DUI and you can't cross the border, just Google it. The regular gas stations, now get this, the regular ones, just the regular old Esso, okay, have fucking Sunday bars in them. And not just, oh, what do you mean a Sunday? I'm talking a full-blown Sunday bar, like the one that you would see at, what are those, like Cold Stone Marble Slab? They got marble slabs in the middle of gas stations, normal ones. And that's not Buc-ee's. Don't worry, that's not Buc-ee's. They got seasonal merch. These folks go nuts over it. I just spent 10 minutes of the podcast talking about a goddamn gas station, okay? That's how flabbergasted I am about that goddamn place. It blew my mind. I'm still shook by it. It makes zero sense. Where are we at here? Open volume mixer. Okay. Why are we getting here we go. We're back. We're back to our regular programming where Uncle Hack doesn't know what the hell he's doing when it comes to this horse shit. Just kidding. I know what I'm doing. We're almost there, folks. We're getting to the finish line. We're all just trying to make a buck around here. But I couldn't believe that. I was just totally blown away.
Our city next.
Now, the first thing we're getting into on this show is a fresh article, okay? A fresh article has come out about the fellas, and we are living it big. You know, Diversity Thunder Bay has some thoughts about us. We're going to watch the article together. We're going to listen to it together. We're going to see what they have to say. It's a very interesting watch. You know, just at this point, are we even worth talking about? At this point, is it just like one of those old subjects that you get, like, you know, if somebody sat down and decided to like retell you their life story, yeah, am I getting to that with this whole thing? Am I to blame? But I just find pieces of the article a tidbit funny, okay? So that's why we're bringing it up on this show today. Okay, that's it. Nothing out of the norm, right, folks? We are more than capable of understanding when I'm being a moron. And that's all the time. There's nothing to hide here. But Diversity Thunder Bay calls for comedy show cancellation. We're going to listen to this 2 minute and 17 second article together, or news segment about us and how bad we are.
A controversial comedy group is scheduled to perform in our city next month, but officials with Diversity Thunder Bay are calling for their shows to be canceled.
Cricket's Comedy Club is hosting the Danger Cats.
You know, I wonder myself, like, when these fine folks went to whatever respected university they got their journalism degree or their communications degree, do you think in the back of their head when they get offered that one contract, you know, we always have big dreams. You want to break a big story. You know, are you going to be the one that really pushes journalism to this echelon where it's respected once again? Are you gonna, you know, break a story that could be life-saving or life-changing in any way? And then like everything, your dreams start to dissipate and you just settle for whatever is kind of on the table. Now, I ask myself this question because I'd love to dive deep into the minds of both these individuals and understand, like, when you look at that degree that hangs on your wall, right? You come home after a good hard day's work of talking about how many shopping carts were stolen from the local Walmart. And you look at that communications degree, do you think to yourself, nice? Or is it like, oh God, I am very happy. It is practically impossible to purchase a sidearm or a pistol of any sort to shove in my mouth and brush my teeth one last time. I want to know, you know, because the joy of having the delusional brain of a blue collar gentleman is like you're able to compartmentalize your dreams and just replace them with these like hopes almost that come with the what would be the perfect word to put there. That comes with the blue collar life, I should say, or whatever trade you involve yourself in, right? You're able to like remove the idea that the NHL is out of the question, but by oh fucking golly gee, I could probably work my way into a company truck. You know, you're able to, you can downgrade a little bit here and put about 15% of that original dream and like the perks and joys that you can work towards and just like stuff it into this dead animal called your career. And I'm not dogging anybody that's in the trades by any means. I am just saying there is now this is me coming from that. You know what I mean? I've watched many dudes who had opportunities to leave, to get out and chase whatever dream they had in their head. But there's this thing called alcohol, and alcohol suppresses those dreams a little more until you just like accept, I think is the perfect way. Right. And it's just a cold hard reality. And it has nothing to do to be like, oh, you're punching down again, Hack. No. That would imply that I put myself above those who work in trades or any sort of hands-on type of work. You know, I am just, I understand that mentality. Now, do these people that put on the monkey suit every morning and do, you know, clash the cymbals, boy, look, free Palestine, you know what I mean? That monkey is just clanging the same fucking thing over and over and over again. Do you think to yourself that, hey, you know what? If I just I don't even think they give a shit about views. You're getting I was about to say, if I get 30,000 views on this next piece that I'm working on, it might just, you know, do something for me. Put a little lead back in my pencil. Now, do these folks have that same thing? That's what I wonder. Because you see some of them, they're doing TikTok channels and whatnot, right? Like, is that like where you wanted to end up? And I'm not saying that in a condescending manner, maybe a condescending tone, because I don't get it. You know, wouldn't you want to be in the big studio? But then like you get to the big studio. This is like, what is this? Like the East Coast of journalism, if you're doing it in Thunder Bay, what's the NHL, Toronto, you know, major city, Vancouver, I would assume, you know, CBC National, that's got to be like the NHL. And then it's like where it's just cities, you know, CBC Edmonton, that's got to be like the AHL. And then you get down into these leagues where you're like looking at it, you know, you can get a $5 ticket and that comes with a free beer and a hot dog. And it's just something to do, you know? Well, yeah, one of these on the radio.
Three comedians from Alberta who've been flagged for offensive content by
the Canadian
Anti-Hate Network.
Oh, no.
Has more.
Comedy troupe Danger Cats have recently seen some of their shows canceled for what has been deemed problematic content.
I can't take that guy's voice serious. Can you?
And now they're bringing their act to Thunder Bay. The trio is set to perform 4 shows at the Odeon Theater, hosted by Crickets Comedy Club. The Danger Cats are now infamously known for their offensive shock content, recently selling a shirt depicting a caricature of serial killer Robert Picton, murderer of dozens of primarily indigenous women. Diversity Thunder Bay is calling for the cancellation.
This is the part that gets me, is like Diversity Thunder Bay, and you have these like fossils, you know. It looks like the 3 stages of cancer, you know. These 3 people standing outside of, I don't know what it is. I assume a coffee shop. And this old guy on the far right. Hey, far right. Hey. The old guy on the far right looks like he manages like, he looks like he manages a haunted house. Like that's the first guy that rips your ticket off before you go in. There's a very eerie smile. All of them whiter than fucking rice on a paper plate in a snowstorm. They are white, very white. To the point where, like, these are the whites that I think everybody kind of gets uncomfortable around, you know? The opinionated, bored whites. Nothing better to do. I don't, what, her shirt says something like, your powers for good, use your powers for good. Okay. And it's in rainbow colors. So you can imagine what these types of people are like, you know? The one in the middle, I can only see her hand. She's married, I assume, to a wealthy man because there's just too much time on the hands for somebody just to, you know, take this on as a hobby. The guilt of wealth has settled into this woman's psyche and has caused her now to take up activism as a hobby. And the husband is just happy she's out of the house. You know what I mean? Sometimes, fellas, you learn as time goes on, as your grandpa will tell you, you know, sometimes you just let her do whatever the hell she wants and you can just have a lot of free time. Some bullshit activity. I imagine that there's probably some sort of fundraiser dinner that you would have to show up to once a year and just put a dumb smile on, nod, wave, pretend you care as much as she does. The last thing you need is one of those car rides home where it's like, you just don't seem to care what I get up, what I'm passionate about. And it's like, well, in high school, honey, you know, we used to throw eggs at all the foreigners together. We used to do that. So I'm having a tough time taking you serious about this one, you know. Remember when those Japanese kids were here on an exchange student program and, you know, you took the one's chopsticks and threatened to shove it up his piss hole, but he couldn't quite speak English that well. And so he just smiled and nodded while you screamed this in his face. You remember this? And we all laughed and we all giggled. And now, you know, you're up here trying to tell us like why comedians are supposed to not come to our town as I'm eating stale, fucking dry roast beef. I had to put 2 full cups of gravy on said roast beef to just get any moisture in it so it was digestible. You know, felt like I was eating sawdust, for Christ's sakes, you psychopath. And then the typical like instant mashed potatoes. Now you don't even take the time to mash potatoes for the dinner. And the steamed carrots and peas. What are we doing here? You know, I'm just happy that I got a Big Mac before picking you up to head down to this thing, or else I would be very, very, very upset. I'm in my fantasy world right now.
Relation of the shows. Saying the group has no place in our town.
When you normalize that as humor, I think it desensitizes people to the gravity of the issue. And we're coming from a community that is known for deeply, deeply troubling racism.
Yeah, well, that's a little on your town, I would say. Okay, deeply troubling racism. I'm not quite familiar with the racism that takes place in Thunder Bay. Seeing as I'm fucking three provinces away from that. Now, I understand it's not good. It's not great. You don't want that when it's like. There's a difference, though, of like banter between two gents that are of different races and full-blown racism. And I think I'm not applying it to what she's saying, but I think women like her don't understand that. I'm not applying it to the town of Thunder Bay, but it's like ladies like this don't understand the communication between the bros, okay? And what I mean by that is like a lady like this will hear you and your best bud throwing jabs at one another. Now, whether your best bud's Japanese, whatever he is, you attack the low hanging fruit, right? You gotta take out the cannon fodder first. Then as your friendship evolves, the racism gets more slick. It's more, you know, you lean into it. You find some old school stuff that they used to do back in the 1800s, you know, slurs, you know, tactics of smear campaigns towards them. What another country did to their said origin country. That's how you make a nice, deeply rooted friendship of love and kindness between two bromosexuals. That's how it goes. And ladies like this, now I don't blame them because I don't think that they actually hang around other races apart from the ones that are like, yeah, we'll show up to your little fundraiser. You know, we appreciate what you're doing. I understand that. And I'm not applying this to her and her situation. I'm just saying in general, most of the women that I've met that I have personally spoken to about this friend group, not that diverse. It's about as diverse as Diversity Thunder Bay. And it's literally just like we're talking 10-year increments of age. You can watch, like, you know, the Evolution of Man poster. This is the Evolution of Death. That's it.
Especially towards Indigenous people. If we want to move forward with reconciliation, and if we want to try to dispel that image of us nationwide, we have to do something about this and stand up and say, guys, this isn't cool.
Ah, yes, a comedy show. A comedy show. A comedy show is the way you get back with your, you know, all the horrible shit that somewhere where I'm not even, I didn't grow up. The first time I went to Ontario was 4 years ago. Okay. So don't try and rope me into your little silly nonsense. I wasn't doing anything to those people. It sounds like you're a little guilty. Sounds to me like you might have been up to no good. So tell us the truth, Sarah. What is it? What was her name? Anna. Anna Toronto.
And if we want to try to dispel that image of us nationwide, we have to do something about this.
Ah, and that one thing is making sure these pesky joke tellers don't come around here no more. And I would have got away with it too if it wasn't for those fucking racists. I like how you can see the reflection of the reporter in her giant glasses. These old bug eye glasses. And he's like kind of just smiling and nodding. Yeah, give us more. Tell us, lay it on the line. We need this. We need this type of entertainment, for these mooks will never understand what it truly means. Sorry, I had to switch over a battery in the camera.
And stand up and say, guys, this isn't cool.
This isn't cool.
The Danger Cats are known to cross lines with their comedy.
Oh.
Notably with a joke about residential schools.
Incorrect.
That Diversity Thunder Bay deemed to potentially make a large portion of our population uncomfortable. Chris Melowishin.
Oh, really? A large portion of the population were uncomfortable from my comedy. One joke to rule them all. Holy, that's quite the claim you guys got there with this fucking guy.
Owner of Cricket's Comedy Club spoke about the Robert Pickton shirt and why he feels the show should go on.
Okay, the shirt that they're referring to, okay, that actually happened. Okay, but we're not selling their shirts. We have nothing to do with what they market, who they hang out with, what they do in their personal life. We are doing a show, a comedy show. If you like it, you know, show up. If you don't, you don't have to. Comedy is subjective, like food. I eat meat. You're not going to see me in a vegan restaurant because that's not my thing.
Diversity Thunder Bay believes an event such as this one normalizes the dehumanization of Indigenous people and the violence toward them.
That's such a wild accusation to make on a show that none of these people have attended. You know, I know I'm back to my old, fucking me, but I don't understand that. You know, that'd be like me sitting back and be like, hey, everybody at the Palestine protests, that's Hamas. All of it is Hamas. All of them, you know, they're just running around. They're doing Hamas shit. None of them fucking, I don't know why that's, I tell you, boy, I tell you, they're all Hamas. I don't get why these little goofballs are doing what they're doing. They're running around. They're talking all this nonsense. That makes them a terrorist organization because they're erecting tents in the middle of campuses and cities across the nation, all over this beautiful continent. Hamas is erecting tents. And I'll tell you what. You show me a little piece of that Hamas and there might be erecting something else. You know what I'm saying, folks? Show me a little piece of that Hamas and I'll erect a tent on campus. You know, I'm seeing some cheeks out there. All the ladies heading out and putting up their little tents. Putting up all their little tents out across all the universities. And I find that interesting that, let them put the tents up. That's what I say. Let them put the tents up. I think this is a great learning experience for university students all across these lands. You know, this is a perfect way for the student body to now experience what the future is going to feel and look like, you know, because once you get those graduation papers, once you get that degree in your hand and you're going to walk across that stage and life and reality starts to settle in and you leave those dorm rooms that where you were once comfortable, boy, oh boy, you're not going to believe it. There's not a lot of real estate left. So you might as well get a first-hand experience and just a hands-on education on how to survive in an urban fucking center in a tent. Because it's coming. It's right around the corner. Affordable housing. What do you want to live in? Do you want to live in a sea can house? You want to buy a couple of those shipment containers? And you can make a sweat lodge. That might be a little much. But that's practically what they are in the summertime. You know, do you want to insulate the walls and have yourselves a sea can in the middle of a college campus that you can call home? That's where we're headed. But I do find it hilarious that in springtime, they decide to take this challenge on. You know, October 7th was quite a while ago, right? October 7th happened. People were upset. And now, like, the college kids, they're upset. School year's almost over. It's springtime. It's beautiful weather. Where were the tents in the winter? Where were you then? I would have took you much more seriously if you started popping the tents up and doing an encampment in the middle of the wintertime, you know? The homeless do it all the time. Where were you? The homeless, they throw up an encampment and take on the winter. Where were you? You're out there in shorts, suntanning, suntan it, soaking in some nice weather. Ooh, it rained one day. Ooh, no. You want the rest of the country to take you seriously. You should have been out there November 1st throwing some stakes in the ground, taking on the winter. But it's expensive to camp in the winter, you know? It is a little expensive to camp in the winter. You aren't quite equipped with the survival skills quite yet, so I understand why the kids, you know, they decided now that they want to go and throw some tents up in the courtyards of the whatever university they're attending, okay? I get that. You don't want to fucking, your first go around, you want to take on a winner, so I respect that. You're picking and choosing your battle, end of the school year's coming. You can't go back to mom's house because they had to downsize because, you know, times are a little tough. They're trying to see retirement. So they sold the house, put a little extra change in their pocket, and downgraded to a condo. So there's no coming back home. So for like the hundreds that all gathered and be like, you guys just want to stay here for the summer? I like that. We just need an excuse. We don't like Jews. Okay, yeah, good enough for me. I don't have to go home now. But it's interesting. And McGill University, they're really taking it to the extreme out there, you know. The headline reads on this fun little CBC news segment, McGill University asks for police help as pro-Palestinian protesters dig in. All right. Now we're going to watch this together. There's some fun in here. There's some sex.
If you really want some peace.
If you really want some peace.
Heads out the Middle East.
The university has ordered them to leave and asked Montreal police.
That this right here is what I'm saying. It starts to get a little suspicious, a little crazy. Join the Concordia Communists, Marxist.ca. And then the French website. Right beside it. But here's what I mean, where I'm getting a little tired of the signs, you know? I don't get the mentality of these kids who have never experienced like true communism, okay? I get it. Shit's expensive. We don't like it. I don't like it. But I certainly do not want to experience North Korea. I didn't wake up this morning being like, boy, you know where it looks like they got their shit together? North Korea. That's what we need. We need one guy with all the wealth. We don't need several guys with all the wealth. We don't want competition. We just need one dude with all the wealth, all the control of television. They're making this guy look like he was dunking. Little Kim Jong-un, dude to the wall. That is the concerning part about the university kids, is like, because there's the individuals around them don't really have any counter argument against communism to these dipshits, they start to believe what they're thinking is a good idea, you know? And then you run into somebody who really experienced communism, like a Cuban or, you know, that interview of that lady on Joe Rogan from that snuck out of North Korea. Not good. All right. Not something I'm really being like, I think I'll side with the rich kid whose tuition was covered by their grandfather's death. I don't fucking know. Tell me why we need to be more equal. And it's like, well, I will trade you positions and you can experience life from my perspective and I'll enjoy the nice ride. I'm fine with that. If there's any rich people that are really tired of their sons and daughters, of them marching and doing all this, and you want to cut them off and you need somewhere else to put that money to feel good, I'm very available. I will be quiet at dinner tables. You know, I'll shut all of this down. will scrub the internet of my existence. I will never say another fucking peep. Okay. Comedy done. I want to hang out. I want to hang out. I'll be quiet about it. I won't be the son that's, you know, like Hunter Biden. I'll dial it back just a little. I'll make sure where I'm partying is somewhere where nobody knows who I am, nor do they give a shit. Okay. I'm not looking to be in the public eye after. I mean, that's if you scoop me out of the position that I'm currently in, if I can just relax and do nothing and live off of you and your money, but you just allowed me to kind of be myself, but I won't be a nuisance or an embarrassment to the family. I certainly will not be at encampments with a communist sign. If you're looking for that son, look no further. Okay. You can DM me. I'll even take salary. All right. I'll do a salary. Okay. Simple as that. Simple as that. Don't worry about tuition. You know, just a simple salary, something livable. Give me a house. You know, I'm not trying to be too communist, but, you know, spread the wealth a little bit. I'll be the best son you ever had. I'll change the way I speak around the family. You know, like I said, scrub the internet. We can delete everything. But you will never have to worry about this old boy coming home with a hammer and sickle flag.
To step in. But demonstrators at McGill...
This was another thing that kind of... There's a motorized wheelchair there. But for some reason is outside of the encampment just taking photos. We got a few tarps down, a couple chairs. Our demands. Disclose. Divest. Defend. Declare. No cops in our camp. That's hilarious. They just threw that. No cops in our camp. This is a liberated zone. I do enjoy the enthusiasm as if, like, you know, because we've watched this take place before with Chaz, the Capitol Hill Autonomous Zone, during the BLM demonstrations that took place across the planet, actually, you know. And that didn't work out so well. They thought that they were going to be able to plant food in there. They were really like gunning to, you know, grow potatoes. And then, like, the only person that ended up being shot inside of their autonomous zone where they liberated the land or whatever the hell they thought there, was a black person that got shot inside of there, which is hilarious. It is the one thing that you're standing up for is racial division in America, and one of your jackboot Antifa thugs that you know got to volunteer for security shoots a black gentleman. The irony. Beautiful. But seeing what, you know, for how not exactly the most survival equipped folk that gathered here. Now, I'm not saying that some of them are, that, you know, but I'm, when you think of university students, you don't think of them being able to put something together in such a quick manner like this, but they've done a decent enough job. Could they use a few numbers judging by the beginning of this?
Really want some peace.
If you really want some peace.
Heads out the Middle East.
The university.
They're still doing the masks. That's irritating.
McGill University say they aren't going anywhere.
People feel very fiercely about being here. And I think it's going to be very difficult for McGill and the SPVM to shake that.
The protesters are demanding McGill divest from a list of companies and organizations with links to Israel. The university says the encampment is against its policies and the law.
The duration and the location simply don't work on our campus. So that's the main reasons why we've asked the police to intervene.
McGill says it's seen video evidence of what it calls unequivocally anti-Semitic language. When we asked for that evidence, they...
You're saying the quiet part out loud, huh? It is, you know, why don't you just release those horses that you had for the trucker convoy? You guys know how to... There's not even that many people there. You could clear that out in 20 minutes tops. I mean, you had the whole downtown core cleared out in what? A couple hours? What was that? A few hours? You got those folks out of there, arrested everybody, threw them in jail or whatever, took their bank accounts, whatever you got up to. We all know. But I'm trying to, you know, downplay this. A lot of people watching what this old sucker's up to. This old floppy fish. You know, I'm a wacky little comedian boy. And, you know, you got to keep a sharp eye on this slippery dog. I might make a point one day. I might say something a little too true, huh? I done made myself look a little smarter. All of a sudden, the fan base is growing on this motherfucker. You know what I'm saying? Saying the quiet part out loud. It has come to this point where now you can't talk about certain subjects, which I think is crazy. Crazy for feeling a little. And, right? You can't be that. But then, like, the side that you're against, this is the confusing part about all this stuff, right? You make a point. See, they don't want to, they're shouting similar rhetoric to a neo-Nazi, right? When it comes to Jewish views, but then disassociate themselves with that, but also act like that. The same thing that they call their enemies. So I just like, have we just gotten to the point where there's too many like subgroups to really make a revolutionary change? Like, would it be more infighting than it would be outfighting, like fighting outwards, like towards, I don't know, a bigger organization, a government organization? And I'm not an advocate by any means for civil war of any sort. That's not what I'm getting at here. I'm just saying, like, is there too many subgroups now that have to be pitted against one another? Like, the neo-Nazis don't like the Proud Boys and they go at one another, and then you have like Patriot Front. So like, there's subdivisions inside conservative or right-leaning group, the Venn diagram there, but it's like, it's not even a Venn diagram at this point. There's like, you barely share any values, but you hate this group. But even though you may share values with somebody who opposes with you politically, but you're still supposed to hate them. Like, the discourse is completely out the window. We just pick and choose now. Like, are we having, it's almost like, it's like Crips and Bloods type shit, isn't it? Because it's confusing when you really start to get into it, because there's Crips that don't like Crips and Bloods that like Crips, and they work together. But in, you know, when initially it was just like, oh, Bloods versus Crips, but then it started to break down and it gets confusing, because then you had the Mexican gangs, the white boy gangs, and all like that's literally what it is. The same politics that exist in like gang culture are now taking over in the like political, I guess, what would you call them? Like political subgroups in it? I get, what is there a name for it? I don't even know if there's a name for it, but it is like Crips and Bloods type politics, because like the jihadists, now they're saying that there's jihadists there, and you know, maybe they would agree with something that would be found at a gathering of like-minded individuals in the woods that put together a couple pieces of wood that kind of look like a lowercase T, and then douse them that in, and they wrap it up, right? And they have wood and kerosene or gasoline, a flammable substance that they soak this in, and they light it on fire. Now they might share some similar views, but I don't know if they would be down to like work with one another. You know, it's like very, it's prison politics. It's,
sent us a link to this video. Someone put text on the screen which refers to the protesters as, quote, jihadists. CBC News hasn't independently verified its authenticity. Protesters here say their movement is not against Jews, but against Israel and its actions in...
It's not against Jews, but it's against Israel, which is like a Jewish state. You don't pause a genocide, you end it.
Gaza. With the encampment on its fourth day, a lawyer representing two McGill students filed an injunction seeking a 10-day ban on protests by several groups within 100 meters of campus buildings.
People feel threatened. People are threatened. You have to look at the past conduct to understand the current conduct to see the future conduct.
But other lawyers argued the injunction request is not about safety, but about stifling criticism of Israel and the right to protest.
It's abusive because basically what it's asking for is to block out a big part of downtown to all protests.
The Prime Minister says demonstrations on Canadian...
It's not allowed anymore, folks. You should all know this by now. It's not allowed. You're not allowed to be in the streets no more. You got to be at home, locked into the television. It's playoffs right now. What are you doing outside? Why are you screaming? Protesting is illegal now, okay? It's over. Pack it in. Go home, you know? See, I think one thing they liked about the carbon tax protesters, which I think they're still going, or I don't know if it's dissolved now or what, is they were doing it outside of the city. You know, they were doing it outside of the city. So it just kind of like lost attention. Not too many news crews, you know, carbon tax, it's up. Gas prices really gouging you. We can't afford to send out a news crew to go and watch these guys. We got to be walking distance of studio. All right. And here you're doing it outside of town. This is nice. This is a perfect location downtown. Montreal. It's perfect. It's sexy too. You know, it's a fresh new war. A lot of new angles to take with this. Are these people jihadists? Are they anti-Semitic? You know, are we missing the true point that we're not zeroing in on these Zionists? What's going on? You know? What are we supposed to be yelling? That's all I need to know. What am I angry at? And that's why you have to go home. You can't just make up shit in the street like you guys are. You're being upsetty spaghetti over what? Huh? Palestine? Go home, put on the TV, and listen. Don't you know how this works, kids? Just be a good little civil servant. Unplug from your monotonous, repetitive, annoying job and plug in to the wonderful world of entertainment where we hijack your mind. Jeez Louise, these kids, they don't get it, you know? Your grandpa, your mom, they get it. They understood the programming. This isn't cool, okay? Going against Israel like that. Now there's going to be new laws that come into place. You mark my words, no more saying anything naughty about certain stuff, okay? And see, you can't even like... bluntly say it. It actually just happened in America that they just passed a law in Congress that you're not allowed to be anti-Semitic in Congress. Okay. A land that has a first, and I'm not about to go like very anti-Israel. I'm just stating this is all truth. But if you bring this up again, watch, I'll be labeled an anti-Semite for even talking about it, where I think you should be allowed to talk about it. Just like you know what, whether I disagree or agree with the messaging, these kids have every right, you know. It would be very hypocritical of me to sit here and I just want to make fun of this shit. That's all I want, okay? Leave me be. I don't have a team. I don't have a dog in this fight. I don't care. I care, yes, to a degree where it's sad watching humans lose their livelihood. Am I able to do anything about it? Other than, you know, work a few extra hours over to try and sell a couple extra tickets to the next show so we can donate it to whatever war we're not involved in, you know? But that's as far as I go. I just want to make fun of it. But what I mean by being hypocritical is like, I kind of liked the trucker convoy for my own personal reasons. Okay. I liked seeing people playing street hockey, having a good time when there was no good times to be had. I'm all for that. You know, well, these guys are racist. Shut up. You know, it's like as much as saying that these people that are out are anti-Semitic. You know, it's smear tactics, it's labeling, the same thing that is happening to us with our comedy. It's just smear campaign after smear campaign because one website wrote one article. What about the people that enjoy the show? You don't talk to them, but apparently the whole town is petrified because, you know, some jackasses are coming to talk shit. Just talk shit. It's not even real. Half the, you know, the whole town that's never seen a comedy show. Now, again, we're back to this. Boy, what does Big Trudy have to say?
And campuses have an impact on Jewish students.
Right now, right across the country, Jewish students do not feel safe. That's not right.
As the judge considers an injunction, the encampment remains.
We will not leave. We are very aware and prepared for the potential repercussions.
As protesters wait to see what happens next. Allison Northcott, CBC News, Montreal.
They're doing it. What can we say, folks? We're really doing it out here. We're going to end on a fun note. I know, I'm going long. We're going long. Now, there's a new trend that has been taking over social media, and I love trends, don't I? When you think Uncle Hack, you think trends on the internet, right? I would hope that you do. I hope that when you're sitting there and you're consuming this podcast, right, you think to yourself, boy, old Hack, that's a guy that really knows how to keep his finger on the pulse of like what's happening on the internet. That guy really knows what the hell's going on, and that's what I respect about him. Now, the USA Today, this is fun. Tech news. Man or bear? Hypothetical question sparks conversation about women's safety. Women explain why they feel safer encountering a bear in the forest than a man they didn't know. Hypothetical has sparked a broader discussion about why women fear men. Now this is content, okay? People, don't tell me that you sly dog, you piss off. If you were alone in the woods, would you rather encounter a bear or a man? Answers to that hypothetical question have sparked an ongoing and If you were alone in the woods, would you rather encounter a bear or a man? Answers to that hypothetical question have sparked an ongoing end debate about why the vast majority say they would feel more comfortable choosing a bear. The topic has been hotly discussed for weeks, with men and women everywhere chiming in with their thoughts all over social media. Holy shit. Bear, man, is scary. One of the women respond. I would like to know, out of the 7 women interviewed for the piece, only one picked man. I would like to see like more. I understand that that's like clickbait content, right? But I would like to understand the psychology of how these women view men. and how like a bear would constitute being safer than just your average everyday dude. Most men these days are like hermits. Okay. So the crapshoot of like coming across some weird hermit or some weird psycho serial killer is very, 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 very small. I'm going to go with that. Most, I don't know what they think most men are. Most dudes, most guys out there are dudes. And I say that respectfully, okay? I say that respectfully to all the dudes, you know? It's a damn shame that every dude is getting labeled as if, like, their next move is to slit a woman's throat and put some HBH in her goddamn drink prior to doing so, you know? We're just walking predators. Most dudes now are terrified to talk to women. It has to be on a screen. So a face-to-face encounter with a male in the woods, not only, you know, will this guy be alone with you, but then he's got to like start conversation, which is going to be awkward as hell for them. So they're probably just going to leave you the fuck alone. And the women where is that video? The TikTok. I want the TikTok.
Would you rather be stuck in a forest with a man or a bear? Would you rather be stuck in a forest?
Man is scary. With a bear. Man is scary. With a bear.
Well, I've heard about bears. They don't always attack you, right? Unless.
Holy shit. The first one, your typical goth female. British goth. Kind of gross. The shoe fits because they are all pale white and you got to throw a little color on their face. I thought this was a trans guy in the beginning, or a trans woman. But the knocker seemed too real, you know? Kind of looks like that singer that Ozzy Osbourne really likes right now.
Would you rather be stuck in a forest with a man or a bear?
Bear. Man is scary. With a bear.
Well, I've heard about bears. They don't always attack you, right? Unless you, like, fuck with them. So maybe a bear.
Right. Yeah. What is going on out there? Has social media ruined the reputation of men? Is because like a lot of scorned women run online of like that one kind of, you know, is it the one good looking dude that's like ripped their heart out and made their lives a living hell? One guy, you know how many times we get rejected on the daily? On the daily, rejection, you know? And then like now dudes are just kind of like, Now, like I said, most men they don't care to talk to women. You know, like if you're out with your boys, it's like you want to have a good time. So what do? You don't talk to ladies. You don't want ladies in there. Fellas are having a laugh or having a giggle. You're at the local watering hole. Nobody goes, you know what would make this better? A group of women, you know? No one really make the hockey game and these hot wings and fountains of beer that just keep being plunged in front of us, you know? No one make this better. 13 cackling ladies in the vicinity of where we could hear them, you know? That's like right a table next to us. That would be the best thing. I got a question for guys when it comes to this. You know, the ladies, you got that question. Would you rather be in the woods with a man or a bear? Now, here's one for the gents. Would you rather be stuck in an elevator with a Bengal tiger who hasn't ate for 3 days or your girlfriend's friend that she keeps saying is really, really funny? And I think you guys would get along. We all know that one friend. Slightly chubby, can't get a date. So, you know, has to dress cool and act funny. And we all know deep down inside, she's actually very fucking annoying. You have to be stuck in an elevator with one of those two things. Go. Discuss it. Debate it. Maybe we clip that and throw it on TikTok, see what everybody has to say about it, you know? Maybe that's the clip of this episode. Would you rather be in the... I'd like to see just women in the woods alone. You know, just like that's a TV show. They got to figure it out. There was like that one camping show and watching, you know, watching them trying to figure that all out and trying to survive like regular day women. I think like just throw them. They like these seven women have to, if they say bear, they have to go and like, they have to live like a bear. That's the game show. And it's like, oh, a man. So then like you get some sort of tools. You get to have fun in that regard of like, ooh, tools, boss girl. We'll finish this out.
Depends what man, but probably a bear.
Depends what man. And like the dude that they have the as like the bear, the image for like the man that they possibly are describing of like what man looks like your average dad, you know, this guy looks like he says, oops, excuse me, trying to get by you in a lineup. Excuse me. Oops. You know, this guy looks like he checks tire pressures before going on a road trip, which is very responsible. You know, so like the dude that they're using as an example of at the bottom isn't like a creepy, you know, snaggletooth, the robber fucking guy living in the woods on Dennis the Menace. It's not that by like any means, not even like it just looks like an average guy that you would bump into at like a meat shop. You know, this looks like an average guy that would probably, you know, agree with the wife that we should get a minivan. Yeah, minivan is a good idea. And wouldn't put up a fight, you know? Yeah, you're right, honey. We should get a minivan. Makes total sense. I need a minivan. Unbelievable.
100% a bear, which is like terrifying to say, but
definitely a bear. Some men are very scary out there. A bear.
All the chubby ladies keep saying bear. Like that bear isn't looking at you like you're a snack. And I don't mean it in like the progressive way that the kids are using it. Oh, you're a snack, right? Daddy's a little hungry. No, like a meal. You look like a fucking tasty meal to that bear. And he gets a scent of that cheap perfume. It might even, you know, you open up you mind the gap. You know what I mean? You that thing plunges open and that bear gets, oh, I thought the ice was frozen and I wasn't going to get a little salmon at this time of year, but boy, oh boy, call me fucking Mr. Lucky Stars himself, because I'm looking up and things are looking bright, aren't they? The old sun shining down on me and I'm going to eat this thing ass first. I think bears do eat things ass first, you know? If I'm correct, I believe they do. Or is it lions? I know it's some apex predator eats ass first. And you know what I mean? Call me old fashioned, but let me kiss you first. Unbelievable.
I would say a man.
Then they always got to put like the wholesome one. The comments are always good. As a bear, hearing this, thank you, ladies. I'm terrified of bears. I have fear of bears from my childhood, so they scare me to my soul, and I still choose the bear. Ooh. That's great, isn't it? That's great. And we thank you for listening to another episode of the Uncle Hack Podcast. I apologize for being absent from the podcast. I got allergies while I was out there. I've never had allergies. The cedar trees out there, it's the time of year where they're releasing the pollen, and boy, do they knock you the fuck out. I've never had allergies before. But my Lord above me, did it get me right good. And we are back to our regular program scheduling, and we will keep you updated and informed with everything that's taking place in the world we live in. My name is Uncle Hack, and I'm signing out on Channel 69 News. Good night, everybody. Oh, if you want an extra episode, head on over to patreon.com/dangercat69. If you're listening to this on Thursday, that episode will be out the following day, okay? There will be another episode waiting for you on the Patreon Friday at 2 to 3 p.m. We will have that uploaded for your viewing pleasure. And if you would love to support the show, if you like the show, head on over to patreon.com/dangercat69. And that is a wonderful way to support the Uncle Hack podcast. And we appreciate you being here. For all tickets, dangercatsshop.com. Both links are down in the description. And thank you for tuning in to another episode.